Start first by acknowledging my co-authors, Dr. Matthew Wallenstein of Colorado State University, seen here mimicking a doll sheep in the mountains in northern Alaska, and Dr. Josh Schimmel of the University of California, Santa Barbara, who's demonstrating the proper technique for collecting an intertussock soil sample. When most of us think of the winter in the Arctic, we shiver like I'm doing after my Frappuccino from break, and imagine a cold, inhospitable environment with little to no biological activity, except maybe some caribou or crazy scientists. But while that might be true of the heart of the cold season, at the beginning and the end of the winter, microbial communities are actually really quite active. And the carbon dioxide that these organisms release during that time can actually account for a third or more of the total carbon flux from Arctic soils. Now, since these biologically active but frozen periods are likely to lengthen with global climate change, it's important that we understand who the active members of the soil community are and what they're eating during that time. Now, what is it that we know about winter versus summer microbial community activity? Well, first, we know that in winter, the microbes are going to be mineralizing nitrogen, indicating a relative carbon limitation, whereas in the summer, they are highly N-limited and are thus going to immobilize N rapidly. Josh and Carl McCann have also shown that in the winter, the microbes tend to respire a much greater proportion of carbon derived from a soluble microbial products pool versus the summertime. And finally, based on clone library work that Matt Wallenstein has done, we know that the community doesn't appear to change very much composition-wise from winter to summer, but since clone libraries are built on DNA, we don't really know whether those organisms are actually active. So that leads me to my questions for today, where we're going to be asking the question of, are different microbial groups active in winter and summer, and are they using substrates differently? In order to answer that question, we headed up to Tulik Lake Long-Term Ecological Research Center in just north of the Brooks Range in northern Alaska. Since we're interested in seasonal comparisons, we collected samples from the end of the winter and the end of the summer, and from this point on, I will simply refer to those as winter and summer. The soil that I'm talking about today is what we refer to as tussock soil, and you can see the tussock here is a mound formed by Areophorum vaginatum. The soil is technically classified as a typic aquaturbel, but what we're talking about today is simply the O horizon, which is basically formed from dead Areophorum vaginatum roots. And in the summer, we can collect that soil easily using a knife, but in the winter, when the soil is frozen, we have to use an ice auger, as you see Matt and Josh doing there. And that generates a core something like that, which is a little difficult to work with, so you have to smash it up with a hammer, like Josh is doing there. So we brought the soil back to California and set up an incubation experiment where we added C13 labeled substrates representing different soluble carbon pools. We added glucose for the sugar, vanillin as the phenolic, and glutamate as the amino acid. And these substrates were all 99% C13 and added at tracer level. I did these incubations at two different temperatures. The winter soils were incubated at -2 degrees and the summer at +4. Now that -2 degrees temperature is representative of the soil temperature we'd see during those biologically active but still frozen periods at the beginning and the end of winter. And it's important to note at this point that those winter soils were never thawed. We collected them frozen, transported them frozen, and you can see here I'm working in one of our walk-in freezers in order to keep those soils cold. And we also ran the winter incubations for a little bit longer to try and capture an equivalent amount of metabolic activity compared to the summer. The analysis I'm going to be focusing on today is C13 PLFA analysis. And what we're looking for here is an enrichment of the PLFAs with C13. And if we see an increase in C13 in a particular PLFA, we know that the organisms that are associated with that particular lipid were taking up our substrate and actively metabolizing new lipids. And we see here a typical tussock PLFA profile where each peak on that chromatogram represents a different PLFA. So let's start by looking at glucose and vanillin as soluble carbon sources. Since we're going to be seeing a lot of these graphs, I'd like to take a moment to orient you to what we're looking at. We've got delta C13 on the y-axis and the season on the x-axis, with winter always on the left and summer on the right. Glucose is in this sort of purple color and vanillin in the creamy color. And I'm also going to be focusing just on the trends between the winter and summer, and those are highlighted with these handy arrows in the middle of the graph. Let's start by looking at general bacteria markers. We've got 16.1 and 18.1 omega-7 here. And what we see is very high levels of incorporation, very highly enriched lipids here, but very little difference between the two seasons. When we look at the gram-positive bacteria here, we're looking at the iso and anti-iso branched markers, we see a different trend with fairly low levels of incorporation in the winter, but much greater levels of incorporation in the summertime. Looking again at a subset of the gram-positive bacteria, now we're looking at actinomycetes with the 10-methyl markers, we see a different trend again, with fairly low levels of incorporation overall, and again, no difference between the two seasons. Fungi show a completely different trend, with very high levels of incorporation overall, but a decreasing trend from winter to summer, suggesting that the fungi are actually metabolizing more of these substrates when the conditions are frozen. Looking at the 19-cyclo marker, instead of looking at a functional group of organisms, instead we are looking at an indicator of stress of the overall microbial community. And this is a striking trend with very high levels of incorporation in the winter, and basically natural abundance levels indicating no incorporation of substrates in the summertime. And that's not too surprising considering that winter survival in and activity in frozen soils is pretty stressful for the microbes, and the 19 cyclo would help to keep their membranes more fluid. So in summary of what we've seen with the soluble carbon data, with the general bacteria markers, we saw high levels of incorporation, but no real differences between winter and summer. Gram positives, we saw more incorporation in the summer than the winter. Actinos, no difference between those two seasons, but much lower levels of incorporation. And with the fungi and the stress markers, a decrease in overall activity between the winter and the summer. Now let's switch gears for a moment and take a look at glutamate, which is an amino acid, so it contains nitrogen. And since it contains nitrogen, it can be used by the microbial communities in two different ways, either as a carbon source and potentially get incorporated into lipids, or as a nitrogen source where they would be incorporating it directly into proteins or other nitrogenous compounds. Now, since we already mentioned that nitrogen tends to be more limiting in the summer and more readily available in the winter, we might expect that glutamate would appear in the lipids being used as a carbon source more frequently in the winter than in the summer. And that's exactly what we see here with the general bacteria. Now we've got glucose, again, is sort of a metabolic reference point, and glutamate is in this pink color. And with our general bacteria, we see a lower level of incorporation of the glutamate into the lipids in the summertime. That trend holds for the gram-positive bacteria, where we see a much very low levels of incorporation of glutamate, but still, overall, the organisms were quite active because we saw the glucose moving into the lipids. Actinomycetes, again, the same trend. The glutamate is not being incorporated in the summertime, and again, with the fungi. So across the board, we see with glutamate that the microorganisms appear to be incorporating it only into lipids in the wintertime with very low levels of incorporation in the summer. So from the glucose and the vanillin data, we can conclude two things. First, distinct groups of microorganisms are differentially incorporating soluble carbon into lipids, with the bacteria tending to become more enriched in the summer and the fungi in the winter. Also, in order to deal with the stressful conditions of winter, the microbes appear to be actively incorporating C13 substrates into 19-cyclo, indicating that they're making those new lipids, and that's evidenced by the very high enrichment levels we saw in the winter, but no substrate incorporation in the summer. And finally, from the glutamate data, we can see that glutamate incorporation into lipids appears to follow N availability trends in this ecosystem, and that's indicated by the fact that there's limited enrichment in the summertime when nitrogen availability is low, but in the winter, the microbes can afford to use the glutamate as a carbon source and incorporate it into PM.